Good morning, church. So you may notice that the sound is coming through a different mic. Apparently my mic pack is out of batteries, so we're going to make do with this. If I am quiet, forgive me for that, but I will try and speak as loud as I can into this mic so that y'all can hear me. So this morning, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's page 1014 in your pew Bibles. And I want to give us a little bit of a background as we go into this so that we understand what is going on in this book of 1 Peter. And so as we get here, these two short verses are going to be telling us about the status of God's people as his ambassadors, as his elect exiles in the world, and also his purpose in salvation. And so to understand some of what's going on in the world for these specific people that it's written to, we need to understand what's going on. The first part of verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles. So first off, we see that Peter is the one that's writing this. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he is the same Simon Peter that was one of Jesus's inner circle of disciples, one of those three disciples. And we see over in actually just chapter 5 of this book that he says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So Peter saw the sufferings of Christ. He was there and saw what happened to Jesus Christ. And so he is saying, hey, this is who I am, and my authority for writing this is because of me seeing who Jesus is and Jesus sending me out as his messenger, his apostle of himself. And so as Peter is writing this, it's probably written around the early 60s AD, which gives us a little bit better look into the background of what's going on in the church at this time. And so this is before Peter's death, obviously. He wouldn't have been able to write afterwards, but Peter died during the persecutions of Nero in Rome. And so that was the first empire-wide persecution of Christians. So this is just before all of that's happening. And so there probably would have been some localized persecutions in some of these areas that Peter is writing to, but there would have been a lot of discrimination against the Christians for sure, against these believers, these elect exiles, and that are dispersed all throughout, through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so he's writing to these people as they're in this dispersion, as they're being persecuted and discriminated against by the world. And so this helps us to understand a little bit more about the status of these people as the elect exiles, as those that are dispersed. And so they're dispersed all throughout Asia Minor, essentially, or modern-day Turkey. And so Peter is reminding them here that they are not of this world. They are not of the Roman Empire, that their citizenship, their hope is not here. And rather, throughout the rest of the letter, he writes that their hope is one that is in Christ Jesus, and that they are born again to that hope, to that living hope that is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so as he's writing this, we get to see the elect exiles and this oxymoron of sort of the title of who we are as the people of God that Peter is writing to, and they are the recipients. Those are the recipients of the letters, these elect exiles that are spread abroad, and Peter is essentially a herald of the King of Kings that is proclaiming the truth to God's people, these elect exiles, and trying to equip them to live in such a way as they are in exile. And so some of the stuff that I was thinking through as I was going through this was about the mission trip I had just been on to the Dominican Republic. And while I was there, I was asked a whole bunch of different questions about the U.S., and for some reason, there was one translator that we had in particular that wanted to ask me about New York City the whole time. That was the one thing he wanted to talk about, and I've been to New York City a total of like 4 days, And I could not tell him much about New York City, but that's what he wanted to know about because I was an American. And as an American, I know about America. And so I'm representing America to him, to this Dominican man. And so he kept asking me these questions. Likewise, for us as the elect exiles, we are representatives of our kingdom, of this heavenly kingdom, of the kingdom of God. And so as we're living abroad, as we're dispersed throughout the world, as we're dispersed throughout Madison County, Limestone County, even up to Tennessee, we are representatives of this heavenly kingdom. And so as we see this is what Peter is trying to equip these elect exiles to do throughout his letter, is to represent the kingdom well, to be ambassadors for the King of Kings. And when he's using this elect exile language, he's referring back to the exile of Israel. And over in Jeremiah 29, it's on page 656 in your Pew Bibles, Jeremiah is writing to the exiles, and he says in verse 1, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exile, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." And so Jeremiah is talking specifically to these exiles, and that's the same language that Peter is referencing here. He's referencing back to this exile. And at this point in time in Jeremiah, that the exile has happened because of a string of bad kings, a string of them not following God. And so they're in exile for a different reason than we're in exile, but they are in exile in a similar way, where they are still God's people living abroad in these different countries. And so what I want to examine over these next few minutes is, what does it mean that we are the elect exiles? What does it mean for you all as going to college? What does it mean that you're the elect exiles going off to college? And so I want to first look at our position. What does it mean that we are the elect exiles? What is this position to which God has called us to, essentially as ambassadors of the King? And so I'm going to jump on over to John chapter 17, and we're going to be in page 903 in your Pew Bibles, starting in verse 6. It says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." And so right here, this is the high priestly prayer right before Jesus goes to be crucified. And so he is praying here specifically for his disciples at the time, but we see later on in the chapter that he is also praying for those that will be given to him, for all that will be that for all that will believe in him, is what verse 20 says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And so what Jesus is talking about here is that these elect exiles, those that have been called unto him from the Father, are not of this world. They're pointing directly to who we are. It says, whom the Father gave me out of the world. These elect exiles, those who believe in Christ, are called out of the world unto Christ. And there's a fundamental change that has happened for us. They've been taken from the world. They've been chosen. They have been elected. They have been saved to Christ. And so they are taken out of the world, but still remain in the world, in exile. And so Christ's people are those who positionally are saved, but are also still in the world, are still living in the world. So our position is that of essentially an ambassador. An ambassador would be someone that goes to a different nation and they're representing the home nation, right? If we have ambassadors of the United States that are living abroad, they are representing the U.S. and representing the interests of the U.S. and all of that abroad. And that is essentially what we are called to do as ambassadors of Christ, as the elect exiles, is to be in the world, to be in all of these other nations as ambassadors of the King, to be living for God in that way. And so as we are living, we are citizens of the kingdom. We are not living in the kingdom yet, but we are living in exile, just as the Israelites during Jeremiah's time. They were not living in Israel. They were in exile, and so are we. And we're living in this already not yet sort of state. But as we look at this, as we're scattered abroad, as we look at what's happening, we see this purpose of the exile. Why are we still in exile? If we're God's people, if we've been chosen, if we've been called to him, then why are we still in exile? And so John 17, 18 through 19 explains a little bit more of this. It says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So the purpose of our exile is to be in the world, to be around the world, to be sent for the purpose of the truth, for the purpose of the gospel, to be living and sharing the gospel wherever we go. And so that's what an ambassador does. An ambassador is not effective if they're living in their home country, right? A U.S. ambassador isn't going to be able to get anything done just living in the U.S. They have to be in the country that they're supposed to be an ambassador for. And it's the same for us. We cannot be effective ambassadors of Christ if we are not in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we're doing everything in the world, right? The church is essentially our embassy, and we come here to be trained, to be equipped by the people of God before we go out into the world to live as his ambassadors. And so these ambassadors are sent into the world, ourselves as ambassadors. We are sent into the world by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not just arbitrary. Our exile is not arbitrary. Israel thought that their exile was arbitrary when Jeremiah was writing to them. And so I'm going to jump back over there and finish out Jeremiah 29, verses 2 through 9, and see what he has to say about their exile and what is the purpose of this exile. And that's on page 656 in your Pew Bibles. And so Jeremiah says, this was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elash, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. And so we see that Israel, as they're abroad, have a specific purpose in their exile. It's verse 7, to seek the welfare of the city where they have been at, where they've been put in their exile. And they're not supposed to listen to these false prophets and these diviners that have been saying that this is not what Israel's supposed to be doing. They're supposed to go back home. They're supposed to go back to Jerusalem. And God is saying, no, no, no. I have sent you here. I've put you here for this purpose, for this time. You are in Babylon to work for the welfare of this city. And so as Peter is writing this letter to the elect exiles, I believe that is what he is referring back to, is that they have been chosen, they have been elected, but they have also been placed in exile for a reason. These people were placed in Asia Minor for a specific reason, to work for the sake of the gospel in that area. Similarly, we are here at Providence. We are all gathered together here at Providence, but as we go out, wherever we're working, wherever we're going to school, wherever we're going to college, wherever we're at, that is where God has sent us into exile to live as his ambassadors for the purpose of the gospel and to share that with those around us. And so as these exiles were to work for the purpose of the gospel, and part of that would be to work out what Jeremiah is saying, to seek the welfare of the city, and that is through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And that is how we glorify God, is the life that we lead. And some of this could be involved in politics and election season and all of that, and I do not know enough about all of that to get into it, but I think that we think sometimes that our home is this place. And so we got to work as hard as we can to make sure that America is becoming the kingdom of God. But America is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. And so that is, our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in this world that we're in, but our hope is in Christ. And that's what it means to be in exile, is our hope is not here. Our hope is in the kingdom that we are a member of, that we are a citizen of, that is this heavenly kingdom, this better kingdom. Philippians 3:20 puts it this way. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So while we're supposed to be working for the good of the world around us and sharing the gospel with them, we also need to remember that that is not our hope. Our hope is not in this world, but our hope is in Christ and in the kingdom to come, the kingdom of God rather than the kingdoms of man. And so as we think about this, we need to put our hope in the imperishable, the undefiled, the unfading riches of the kingdom of heaven. And so it should be through all of these things that we're proclaiming this hope, this trust, as we're proclaiming our hope and our trust according to what we are exiled from, the kingdom of God. And so our position as ambassadors and our purpose in our exiles is the glory of God. And all this is done, what 1 Peter 1:2 says, is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. And so this is where we see the purpose of God's electing us as his exiles, as his ambassadors. We get to see this purpose. And so the purpose of God's election is that we're saved to him. We're saved according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And this is a great picture of getting to see the Trinity here in verse 2 of 1 Peter. We see the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience to Jesus Christ. And so we get to see the Trinity right here involved in our lives. And so first, we get to see the foreknowledge of God the Father. That is, we're called according to the foreknowledge. We are elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, where he's not just merely sitting aside and waiting for those to come to him, but he is doing this out of his purpose, out of his sovereign providence for us. And what that means for us is that as we're living in exile, he has a purpose for that exile. He has a purpose for how we are to live as his ambassadors. It is not arbitrary, but is purposeful. It is the sovereign choice of God. And as we are the ambassadors, we are being sanctified in the Spirit. We're coming to this embassy of the kingdom, this outpost of the kingdom, and we're being sanctified in the Spirit. We're being equipped by the Holy Spirit to go out and to live as those ambassadors, to live in exile according to God, being built into the image of Christ. And finally, what we see is that all of this is done for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. And our obedience to Jesus is incredibly important as for our mission as ambassadors. Are we going to be loyal to the King of Kings, or are we going to follow our own will? Or are we going to follow some other kingdom? Right? We are to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And our obedience isn't the only purpose, but it also says that all of this is done for sprinkling with his blood. And this is very reminiscent of Old Testament language and what happens with the nation of Israel in Exodus. And Exodus 24, verses 3 through 8 says, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he read the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of all the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. And so this sprinkling of 1 Peter 1:2 and Exodus 24 is the covenant relationship that we have with God. It is the covenant that was made when Christ died upon the cross for us. And it is out of that covenant that our obedience to Christ flows. It is from what he has done and how we are united to him according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit that we live in obedience to him as these exiles. And so real quick, I just want to talk to y'all as graduates and tell y'all a couple things that I have learned from college. And specifically, if you want to be a good ambassador of Christ when you're at college, you need to find a good embassy to be in. You need to find a good church to be in. When I first started out in college, I did not find a good church until later on. And when I did, it made all the difference in the world. Because as ambassadors of Christ, even ambassadors of the U.S., U.S. ambassadors do not go out into countries alone. They have a team with them. And so for y'all, as you go into the world, as you go to college, find that embassy, find that church that you can get plugged into, that you can be built up into the image of Christ, that you can find those people, that you can be a team together to focus on the glory of God, that you can live for Christ. And not just for y'all, but for all of us, we need to do this. And especially as we think about how much time we're supposed to spend together as the people of God. I was doing some math, and it said there's 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a week. Most of us probably spend 40 to 60 hours a week at work or school, college, and then we're going to spend at least another 50 hours sleeping. If you're like me, hopefully it's more. And so that's already about 100 hours right there. We're already up to 100 hours. We got 68 hours left. Then on top of that, we're going to be spending a lot of time with our friends and our family members. Then we got our hobbies that we're going to do. We got chores. You got homework that you got to do. My dad always said for every hour in class, you got to spend at least 2 hours outside of class. So that's a lot of time. But that adds up, right? So how much time do we have left for the church? How much time do we have left to meet together in this, the most important place that we're being built up into Christ? And if we're lucky, that's about 4 hours a week that we're together. If you're coming on Sunday morning and you're coming to both hours and you're going to cave groups, maybe 4 to 5 hours a week that you're with the church, that you are being built up together in that time. And hopefully there's more times that you are together with your friends and family that are believers being built up together. But where we're actually at Providence together is probably about 4 to 5 hours a week at the most. And so when we are here, we need to be very intentional about our time together. We need to understand that the world is all around us. And we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And so we need to spend time with other people that are not of the world so that we can be equipped, so that we can be built up, so that we can go out on mission together as ambassadors of Christ. And when we're doing these things, when we're living in such a way as to glorify God through our lives together, that is when we're going to be obedient and be obedient to this covenant that Christ has made with us through his sacrifice on the cross. And through that, the end of 1 Peter 1:2 says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you." So when we go out into the world, when we're living for obedience to Jesus Christ, I pray that grace and peace would be multiplied to us as we're living together as the body of Christ is meant to, as we're proclaiming the glories of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together where we get to spend as the elect exiles who have come together to proclaim your glories. Lord, I pray that we would all be built up into your image, that we would be sanctified in your spirit, so that as we go into the world, we might live obedient lives as your ambassadors, Lord, and that as we are in the world, that we would not become of the world, that we would set our mind on the things of God and not on the things of earth. We think about the patriarchs and what they did, where they fell into the trap and temptation of being of the world and living in such a way that they became like the nations around them. Lord, I pray that that would not be us, but that we would truly live as citizens of the kingdom of God, that we would live on mission for the King of Kings. Lord, I pray for these seniors as they go out, that they would glorify your name, that they would glorify you through their work, through their school, and through everything that they're doing in this next stage of life, Lord. I just pray for all of us that we would live as ambassadors that are glorifying your name. Amen.
Our final hymn is going to be hymn number 389.